And welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning for the very first time, let me say from the bottom of our hearts here at the South Fayette Church of Christ that we're glad that you're here. We hope that any time that you're able to worship with us in spirit and in truth, it is our prayer that you absolutely do so. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us remember to keep the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ is that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We have a zeal for God's word. And we also love one another as Christ also loved us. As we strive on this time side of life to become better men and women of God. And no matter what you do, I want you to know that I'm always love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Johnny, this is for you, buddy. There was a woman who awoke during her sleep to find that her husband was not in bed. She put her robe on and went downstairs. He was sitting at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee in front of him. He appeared to be in deep thought, just staring at the wall. She saw him wipe a tear from his eye and take a sip of his coffee. "What's the matter, dear? Why are you down here at this time of night?" she asked. "Do you remember," he said, 20 years ago when we were dating and we were only 16? She says, "Yes, I do." "Do you remember when your father caught us in the back seat of my car kissing?" "Yes, I remember." "Do you remember when he shoved the shotgun in my face and said, 'Either you marry my daughter or spend 20 years in jail?'" "Yes, I do," she said. Then he wiped another tear from his cheek and said, "You know, I wouldn't got out today." Says leave meeting. Sorry about this. That's why I can't wait till we get past all of this. So this morning, we'll be looking at the book of Proverbs. It is a treasure chest full of wisdom for all areas of our lives. And so this morning, we will focus on what the book has to say about marriage. Now, in this book, we will look at some things that King Solomon addressed his son repeatedly as a matter of importance. But he reminds him of what he needs in life to be pleasing to God. Now, in this Proverbs, we will find throughout the book that all that we need in life essentially boils down to one or two paths. The path of wisdom and the path of folly. The way of wisdom is the way of life and success. And we all understand that the way of folly is the way of death and disaster. And everything in life depends on shunning folly or embracing wisdom. When we talk about wisdom, we need to truly understand, and I think I've said it before, that there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. One may have knowledge and a lack of wisdom. Knowledge is a collection of facts. Wisdom is putting those collections of facts to use in the right way in your everyday living. So the Bible talks a lot about hearing and listening. And very frequently, it links wisdom with those who listen. And he credits discernment to those that hear. So we are reminded in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. So we're going to spend some time this morning looking at some valuable wisdom when it pertains to marriage, not only from the pages of Proverbs, but from God himself. So let me begin by saying this to any, because I really want to get this out. Let me say this to any brother or sister who is here this morning, who's a Christian that has not chosen to marry. I want to say to you that you are a blessing. You are a blessing, and that you have a unique opportunity to have a singular focus on the Lord. Now, I say this because this, however, is a decision that can't be made flippantly. It should take some prayerfulness and some seeking of God's will for your life. But I want you to know that I respect those who have made a conscious choice to be single. It's not an easy road, but a fulfilling one. And I know that this happens because when we discuss marriage, 9 times out of 10, we fail to mention those who wish not to be married. And I want to encourage those of you who have chosen to do this, that Paul says to the Corinthians, to the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 8, because singleness is not a curse. Singleness is not like a cold that you catch or a virus. Singleness is something that one has made a conscious choice to do. And good thing is that singles are not bound by other responsibilities. So what does that mean? That they can give themselves to the service of the Lord and his church. So I want to say hats off, and I applaud those men and women who've made a decision to be single and the fact that they can focus solely on God's calling for their life. But for those of you who choose to be married, I like to establish some important things. The first thing is choosing the right person. This is so important. I want you to know this, that there are many marriages that begin at a disadvantage because people are foolish in choosing a mate. They are foolish in choosing a mate. 50% of all marriages in North America alone end in divorce. That is half. Half of everybody who says I do will get a divorce. And one of the foundational ideals that differentiates a secular marriage from a God-centered marriage is that God is in the center of that marriage. And most marriages fail because God is not in the center of the marriage. And as Christians, there are some things that we should consider when choosing a spouse. We have to be mindful of that. And the first thing that we should consider is our choice of a spouse is this: not how fine he looks, not how beautiful she looks, but this should be at the top of the list: how he or she is being governed by God. That ought to be the first choice in all of it. I get it that you got to look at a person. I know you got to look at them for the rest of your life, so they got to be attractive, and I get all of that. That's important. You don't want something that looks like some type of tiger, gorilla, monkey. I get it that you don't want anything weird, but let me tell you something. The most important thing is that person is being governed by the word of God. Now, with all types of technology and things going on, I mean, you can fix some stuff. There's some cosmetic things that can be done, amen, if they love the Lord. But that's first and foremost. So let us begin with the proverb has to say about finding a good woman to marry. My brother Logan read for us Proverbs 31:10-12. He says, I want you to listen to these attributes. He says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. It says that her price is far above rubies. And the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Man, I wish Dee Dee was here this morning. Verse 12, she would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. If you're listening at home, baby, that is, I'm telling you, that is for you. It goes on the list, though, of attributes. I want you to look at this. It says, she is more precious than jewels. She is a good wife, a homemaker. She's also wise. She is charitable. She is prepared for the future. She outfits her home and herself in fine linen. Because of this, she has a husband that is well known and respected. Man, when you find you a virtuous woman because of her attributes, because of what she brings to the table, and there are godly attributes, you are well known and respected because of it. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4 tells us this. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rotten in his bones. Just as a crown identifies a man of royalty to those that see him, a good wife does the same thing by bringing him dignity and honor. Now, let me tell you something. If all the men in here had to wear a crown that represented the women that they married, we'd have some raggedy crowns. There'd be some rubies missing. There'd be some discoloration. Been dropped a few times, right? It would look horrible. But finding a virtuous woman is a good thing. But I'm telling you, the alternative is far-reaching with consequences than you can ever believe. This is why wisdom is needed in choosing a wife. We need to seek God's guidance. Now, we see it all the time, right? Where people are miserable in their marriages. Why? Because they simply selected a mate based on physical attraction alone instead of the spiritual. Now, listen, I don't know if anybody in here can stop the clock of life from taking toll on your bodies, both men and women. But what you get the day you married, and I'm just keeping it 100, you're not going to have 10, 20 years from now. I guess I'm the only one. I guess I'm the only one that know that gravity takes over, stuff begins to sag, hair starts to change colors, weight begins to take place. I guess I'm the only one. We all change physically, but we should be growing in Christ like a well-seasoned steak. The longer it marinates, the better it gets. And that's how we should be. The more we get in the Word, the more the Word gets into us. And you choosing a spouse, it needs to be an individual who's allowed the Word to marinate in their bodies, so that it just radiates from them to the point that all you want to do is be about God's business. So the importance of the right choice of mate is crucial. God's design is to be linked until you either separate in death or infidelity plays a role. And I would like to say this, even if infidelity plays a role, your first choice should be forgiveness and reconciliation. Normally, the first choice in a person's mind when a person messes up or they don't meet the expectation that you thought that they should, divorce. When there should be some reconciliation, there should be some forgiveness. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, for the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourselves in your spirit and do not be faithless. Most people enter into their marriage with no faith. They enter into a marriage without God being in the center of that marriage. I'm going to tell you some facts. Check this out. And it's going to blow your mind. Every 13 seconds, there is one divorce in America. Every 13 seconds. That equates to 277 divorces per hour. 6,646 divorces per day. 46,523 divorces per week. 2,419,196 divorces per year. That means that there are 9 divorces in the time it takes for a couple to recite their wedding vows. So, Johnny, when you up there saying, I love you, and I'm going to love you for the rest of my life, Trenton, when you looking in Lexi's eyes and you're telling all these sweet things about what you're going to do, 9 people have already divorced. That is phenomenal. That in this day and age that no one seems to respect the institution of marriage. And we're at a point now that people are choosing for the wrong things. But there are many people who are divorcing in the United States. And there are many reasons why that they do. But I'm going to tell you the number reason why marriages end in divorce. You ready for it? You don't have to go to Dr. Field for this one. Right, you ain't got to call your psychiatrist. I'm going to give it to you straight up right here from me. The reason why marriages end in divorce is because a lack of commitment. Period. A lack of commitment. Period. I'll tell you what, let me show you what it looked like. 73% lack of commitment. 56% argue too much. 55% infidelity. 46% married too young. 45% unrealistic expectations. 41% lack of marriage preparation. And last, 25% domestic violence. But at the top of that list is 73%, the lack of commitment. And all of my counseling, I've said this to you all before, and I'm going to say it to you again. People get married with this thing in their mind that it's going to be lovely, and they're not going to be any challenges, and they're going to be so cute, and we're going to have some cute babies, we're going to live in this cute little house, and we're going to make cute little money, and everything is going to be so cute. But what I'm here to tell you is this. People change every day. My wife get her hair done and it look like this one week, and the next week you don't know who that is that walked through those church doors. People change every single day. But here's the kicker. What should not change is your commitment to one another. The commitment that you made before God, that I'm going to love this person for better or worse. Oh my goodness, they're getting on my nerves. All you do is just blah, 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 and argue, argue, argue. Wait a minute. I'm committed to the commitment. Because the commitment doesn't change. People do. Their feelings change. But your commitment doesn't change. Can you imagine what that would look like if God changed his commitment to you? Every time the wind blew, every time you did something he disagreed with, every time you was hard-headed, every time you wanted to argue with what he was telling you to do, he'll tell you what, that's all right, we're divorced. Don't worry about it, me and you done. There's no reconciliation and there is no forgiveness. And when you think about it in those terms, that's exactly what we ought to be representing. The church and God. So, at the end of the day, if we can start remembering that I got to be committed to what I said to God and not the person, marriages would last. I'm not committed to how long your hair is. I'm not committed to if you gain weight or lose weight. I'm not committed to how much money you make or what's in a retirement plan. I'm committed to the fact that I said before God and witnesses that I would love this person for better or for worse. And then when you're thinking about making a good choice of a wife, it greatly enhances the life of a husband. I'm telling you, men, I want you to think about this. Bob is happy. Bob, how old are you? You happy? Most men don't make it to 76. It's probably because they got a wife that do nothing but nag and drive them crazy. Women outlast us because they don't pay men no mind. That's why they live as long as they do. But we built differently. Women are so they're beautiful creatures, man. I mean, I can go into some things of how women are just, they just have this thing, and God created them to do what they do. But a man will be happy. I'm telling you, if you have a woman that all she does is complain, she can destroy you from the inside out. If she doesn't have God in her life, she can destroy you from the inside out. And the same goes for a man. If you don't have a man who is honorable and righteous, he can tear you up from the inside out. And man needs the wisdom of God in choosing a spouse. And Proverbs 19 and verse 14, the word of God says, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. What this means is we need God's help, Johnny. You can't do this by yourself. You need God's help. You need his wisdom and his insight and knowing what to look for in a spouse. And it ain't how many Instagram followers they got. It ain't how many people that like them. It ain't about how much their business is thriving. It ain't about how he got abs and about how cute and how long her hair is. House in this case is linked to, you know, riches. So it's referring to a physical structure. It says house and wealth. Whereas in some context, it refers to an inheritance, which it says from the fathers. So that can be passed down. But what it also says, but the God is the giver of the gift of a prudent wife. He is the one that helps you. But a prudent wife is from the Lord. And the only way you can get there is through the word. Knowing what he says a prudent wife looks like. Knowing what a virtuous woman looks like. Prudent means discreet. You want a woman who exercises good judgment and common sense. Who does the things that she needs to do. Takes care of her business. Great women make great families. Great moms. And, you know, and finding an average wife is easy. It's easy to find an average wife. I guarantee you that. It's easy to find an average wife. But let me tell you something. The Lord must bless such a search by his criteria. See, if you're looking for a virtuous woman, you got to go by the criteria of God and not the criteria of whatever singles website you own. And whatever the world is saying is happening, and what a nice man or one that you need to marry, spend the rest of your life looks like. You need to go through the criteria of God. And his criteria is in Proverbs 30 and 31. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I need a woman that fears the Lord. My young brothers out here that's looking for a wife that intends on being married, you need to find you a woman that fears the Lord. And you definitely want to avoid a contentious woman. This is the opposite of prudent, right? So some contentious women are argumentative, right? Proverbs 19:13, it says, it gives a good description of this. A foolish son is ruined to his father. But a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever been asleep or laying down or been to someone's house after a real hard rain and you can hear that drip that's coming off the gutter and it's just dripping, and it's just dripping, and it's just dripping, dripping, or a leaky faucet. And it's just drip. That's what it sounds like. It's drip, drip. After a while, that becomes irritating, nerve-wracking. Drip, 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 right? Have you ever noticed after a hard, constant rain, that drip? Well, let me say, it probably would get worse if she's dripping before you get married. If she's going blah, 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 this and that and this and that, you don't do this, you don't do that and this and that. And we ain't talking about the lady from Charlie Brown that go wah, wah, wah. We talking about a constant drip, a drip, a drip, something that gets on your nerves. Like that drip of the faucet when you're trying to sleep and you can hear it all the way in the bedroom and it's dripping in some water. You have to go in there and turn it, you know, properly off because that drip is getting on your nerves. But let me tell you also what a drip does. If you think about it, a drip causes damage to everything that's around it. Man, you dealt with this, Phil. Sink start leaking under the bottom. You notice that it's something that ain't quite right, but you don't look under there yet, right? But you notice that you hear something ain't quite right. Then you open up the cabinet and you look under there and you see a bunch of chaos. And everything that's around it has been destroyed or it has been soiled, right? That's exactly what happens when you go into a marriage with a contentious woman, or go into a marriage with a man who isn't righteous or doesn't seek after God and write his words on the tablet of their heart. You open them up on the inside and all you see is damage and destruction. And as a result, everything around it is affected. The wood under there is affected. Your tiles are being sold. That's the children. That's the family. That's the extended family. All those things are being destroyed because of that constant drip. And the only way that we can fix that is through the word of God. So to be married to a godly woman is a wonderful blessing. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. He who finds a good thing obtains favor from the Lord. If you find a wife, you find a good thing. You shouldn't be, let me tell you something. Those of you who are married or in the process of dating, when you pulling up to your significant other's house, your fiance or your husband or wife, and you pulling up to the house, and the first thing you do is cut the car, put your arms around the steering wheel, put your head down before you go into the house, you got some issues. You don't even want to go inside. You don't even look forward to going home. You treat going home like a job you hate. All of us had a job that we hated. I remember growing up working at McDonald's. When I pulled up in the parking lot, I was in there like, oh my goodness, I got to go in here again. I have to deal with this again. I have to deal with all the stuff that comes with this again. And that shouldn't be the way that your house is functioning, especially someone you want to spend the rest of your life with. But I'm going to tell you what the problem is. It says right here in Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. What did it not say, though? It didn't say he who finds a woman finds a good thing. And I think many of us got that twisted. It didn't say find a woman. If you find a woman, you find a good thing. It says he that finds a wife. That means that she is the material. I mean, she fits the criteria of God. She's ready to take on the responsibility of submitting and nurturing and being a helpmate to her husband. She's willing to do that. It didn't say he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And the problem is many men are out here marrying women and they ain't marrying wives. So it's important for us that choosing someone that loves God, it will go a long way and it will produce a happy marriage. So very quickly, I couldn't leave the fellas out. I had to talk about the ladies, but now I got to talk about the fellas selecting a good husband. I'm a father of two children. I have a son and I have a daughter. And when I think about a selection of a husband, I have to think about both of them. Because my desire is for Roman to be a good husband to a wife, and my desire is for my daughter to find a good husband. And so it's important for them to get the counsel of God on what they need to be looking for in a spouse. Not the counsel of Vanity Fair or whatever magazine that you're looking at and what the popular demand of ET or TMZ then told you who's the most beautiful man that's alive. You need to be looking for a God-fearing man. And in order to find one, he has to be under the counsel of God. The number one criteria for selecting a man to marry should be that this man must be obedient to the will of God. That should be your number one criteria. Not if he got a six pack, not if he got blue eyes, not if his hair is really long like Johnny's, none of that. The husband is a person leading the family. He's leading the family in the most respective way as possible. He is creating types of avenues for them to have a relationship with God. And marriage is a lifetime commitment. It's not something that you do every now and then or you throw away when you get tired. And it can either bring you joy or sorrow. In Psalms chapter 1, looking at verses 2 and 3, it says, But his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is the type of man you need to be looking for, ladies. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in the season. And its leaves don't wither. And all that he does will prosper. So instead of you looking at somebody that you've seen on Instagram and is talking about how to make money, or he's a millionaire, or he's in stock or crypto this or crypto that, you need to find you a man who delights in the law of the Lord. And he writes that law on the tablet of his heart because whatever he does will prosper. So many of y'all looking for the prosperity first instead of looking for a godly man, and the prosperity follows. Everybody got this criteria. He got to look like this. He got to be 6'8". He got to play sports. He got to do this. He got to make six figures. And nobody is saying he has to love the Lord our God with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his soul. Because when you find that favor, follow. A man that meditates on God's word will be prosperous in all that he does. I didn't say that he was going to be rich. I said he was going to be prosperous. So nothing that he put his hands to will fail. You get to gauge whether or not it's this amount of success or a little success. But anything with God, anything that you do with God in mind, in your heart, with the righteous mindset, will prosper. And I think actually the idea is that Philippians, 4:8. Right. It's like finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue in any of these things, meditate on these things. You got to find you a man who actually has the idea of pondering, doing nothing but righteousness. A man that all he does is think about the word of God and how he can apply it to his life to make him a better man, to make him a better husband, to make him a better father, to make him a better Christian, can make him a better man of God. Anything that makes him better and that gets him closer to God. That's what you want. You got to choose somebody who isn't pig-headed. You got to choose somebody who loves the Lord. In Proverbs 12:15, it says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. You need a man who listens to the counsel of God. That's what he seeks on his everyday life. Then you got to look at this core group. Like if you young ladies, if you out here dealing with a gentleman and the people that he hang around, they all they do is try to hustle this and hustle that and use profanity, all everything that comes out of their mouth, abuse alcohol and drugs, disrespectful to others. Let me tell you something. You need to run the other way. I don't care how fine you think he looks. You need to run the other way. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says, whoever walks with the wise become wise. But a companion of fool will suffer. It will suffer. Why would you want to keep that type of person around? You want to be married to a person that keeps that type of company, that holds these types of conversation, that uses this type of language? Because let me tell you something. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. It's like a person who was bad before they had money. Now they got money. It's magnified. They only showing you who they always were. They just got a little bit more money to show you a little differently. So when you get into a situation where you're spending the rest of the life with a person and they're showing you all of these things and none of it is godly, I can rest assure you it will be amplified times 10. Because now they got you and where you going? Now we together. We stuck. And now you have to deal with these things. So we have to be mindful of this. And then we have to look, young ladies, you got to look at the temperament. That reveals whether his person, he's a person of understanding. In Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is has a hasty temper exalts folly. Then you got to make sure he's good with money. Money matters. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain and trouble is his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. You don't need no man. All he want to do is try to get over on illegal gains, scamming people, the quickest way to make a buck, lying on taxes and doing all types of underhanded things. That's not what you need. You are seeking a person who is doing things for the right reason. Let me tell you something. There was a commercial. What was that cologne called? Was it Enjoli? Anybody remember that commercial, the Enjoli perfume or whatever, where it says, the women in the commercial says, I can bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan. You remember that one? And never let you forget that you're a man. And it was, Enjoli. Let me just say this to you, ladies. If you got to go to work and fry the bacon in the pan, he didn't already forgot that he was a man. And so what I'm saying is you need a man who is willing to do what he needs to do to provide for his family. You don't need no man that's sitting at home and play video games all day and you out working. And it just really seems like that the roles have reversed. It seems like men are not wanting to work and women having to work to hold down a home. Proverbs 28:19 says, whoever works his hand will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. There's nothing prosperous about a man who looks good and is not doing things in a righteous manner. He just looks like a whole lot of money. And you also, and last but not least, you want to avoid a womanizer. You know the one that try to talk to you to sound like a spray can when he try to get your name? Hey, what's your name? You know, call you everything but your name, because they hadn't even asked you, what's your name? You know, pretty girl, pretty lady, what's up, shouty? What's up? What's happening? You know what I'm saying? You gotta be aware of that, because he would destroy himself and hurt everybody that's involved because he's a womanizer. And Proverbs 6, verse 27 to 29, it says, can a man carry fire next to his chest and clothes and not be burned? What makes you think that you're going to get with a man who's a womanizer before you got him, that he wouldn't bring about infidelity in your household or defile your bed? That's a telltale sign. He didn't come to you and say, you know, excuse me. I couldn't help but to see how beautiful and radiant your eyes are, and I was wondering if I could get your number. No, he's sliding up. What's going on? What's happening? You know what I'm saying? And you choose that, and when you get that, you get upset and try to figure out, and you crying to mom and dad saying, I don't know where I went wrong. I don't know whatever happened. It's because you did not seek the counsel of God. A man of God that pursues righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. That's what you ought to be looking for in a man. And both men and women that are on their best behavior and looking to God, they will have the best marriages. And I want you to understand something. All flaws are disguised in the pursuit of finding a mate. Let me be clear. You don't get everything from the jump. That's why it ought to be your mission to find a godly person that will be honest and forthcoming. That way you don't have to deal with all the disguises. After you say I do, you find out some other stuff. Oh, I never knew that. Oh, you was what? Oh, you were married before? 3 times? What? And you're finding all this stuff out. You were locked up in prison for domestic violence. You have a disease that you can't get rid of, and I'm now just finding out about that, and now we have to live differently because you're dying. You know, all these things. You have to make sure. But let me tell you, in closing, a husband and wife ought to live to the best of their abilities simply through the standards of the Bible. They ought to trust God, adopt the values and principles of his godly desires that he has for our life. We ought to seek God's will and welcome the Spirit in our home. Welcome the Holy Spirit to guide us in our homes and seek to be stewards in all that we have. So that's how you ought to be when you are together and finding a person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. And whichever side of the spectrum you fall on when it comes to marriage, whether you a woman seeking to be a wife or a man seeking to be a husband, or you saying that you want to be single, you have to ask yourself, what about what am I doing that represents God? If I decide to choose this person and marry them and be with them for the rest of my life, are they the type of person who loves the Lord thy God with all of their heart? And if they are, you're on the right path. Marriage is a good gift from God. It is not something that's horrible. I remember, you know, in closing, I remember growing up, people talked about marriage like it was an awful thing. Oh, yeah, man, you know, you young. I want to be married like mom and dad. And then you got the folk that's miserable, man. I don't know about marriage, man. You probably don't want to get married. You probably just want to just live your life and have the most fun. It wasn't until I got married that I started having fun, because I was able to share the relationship of God with somebody else that loves him, that also helps me get to heaven. And it's a beautiful thing when you're able to do that. So all I'm saying is, please continue to study God's word and use this profound wisdom when choosing a mate to spend a lifetime with. So you will not be like that man who was sitting at that table drinking that coffee, hoping and praying that he never married that woman. You will be that person. So let's please remember to allow God to guide us in the choices that we make in choosing a spouse. So if you're here this morning and you are a Christian and you have not been faithful, maybe you've struggled in your marriage, maybe you struggled in any type of relationship, you know, maybe you've sinned publicly, whatever the case may be, you can make your request be made known. And we would definitely pray with you. We would definitely help you and encourage you in any way that we can. And if you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel and it is your desire to put Christ on in baptism, I'm telling you, don't wait. It is the best relationship that you could ever be involved in because it will change your life for eternity. If that is your mission and that is your goal, please come now as together we stand and we sing.